The Hard Shoulder on News Talk
with Nissan. Let's go the distance by keeping our distance. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
Well, let me say this. Weakness is refusing to take responsibility for your own actions. Weakness is pointing your finger at somebody else during a time of crisis. Donald Trump knows nothing about the strength of Minneapolis. We are strong as hell. Is this a difficult time period? Yes, but you better be damn sure that we're going to get through this.
That was a clip there of a protest in New York by the group Black Lives Matter. And all of this was in the context of the killing of George Floyd on Monday in Minneapolis, involving four police officers. And a video of police officers with their knee on his neck, and he's saying he couldn't breathe and he's subsequently dying. Obviously, this is a huge issue in terms of race relations right across the United States, and added to by the fact that President Donald Trump said thugs were dishonoring the memory of George Floyd, age 46, obviously then tweeted even further about it, which we will come to in a moment. It's a great pleasure to be joined on the Hard Shoulder by District Attorney Rachel Rollins. You will recall that when we did a special outside broadcast from New Ross in the Kennedy Summer School, she was one of our special guests. You're most welcome back to the programme, Rachel. You're keeping well?
I am keeping well. Thank you so much for asking. And I hope you guys are too.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, what was your initial reaction when you heard this story Monday, Tuesday?
It just profound sadness, honestly. We have had an unfortunate series of events over the last few weeks, not just with George Floyd, but even prior to that, there was an execution in Georgia of a black man named Ahmaud Arbery. We then had George Floyd, who you and I are going to speak about today. There was a black woman named Breonna Taylor, who essentially, while in her own home in Louisville, the police executed a search warrant on the wrong house and shot and killed her and arrested her boyfriend. And then, of course, we had an incident, whether you guys have been watching, in New York, where a bird watcher, African-American bird watcher, Christian Cooper, asked a woman to put her dog back on a leash. And she threatened to call the police on him and say that there was a black man threatening her, which, you know, we just have a very significant problem with race here in the United States. You and I touched on it when we first interviewed and met each other, and I hope we get to talk a little bit more about it now.
Okay, let's just deal with the George Floyd situation.
Sure.
Yeah, the four police officers have been fired. What do you think it will secure some abatement of the protests? And do they need to be arrested and treated as a criminal offence themselves?
Yeah, so I want to start with a positive. I think the mayor of this town did a phenomenal job of speaking with the community immediately and calling for the termination of the four officers, the three that stood around and watched, and the one that actually placed his knee on the neck of Mr. Floyd and essentially pressed the life out of him while he begged for his life. So we are appreciative of the swift movements of the mayor and the chief of police regarding this incident. But that's an administrative remedy, right? Firing is the very least you can do to make sure that these individuals aren't, you know, allowed to go back out into the community and engage in this type of behavior. And remember, the police in the United States are the only entity of the government that has the ability to kill you without any oversight. They don't have to stop. They don't have to ask permission. They get to make split-second decisions in the name of our government, in the name of our our infrastructure, right? And then we get to look back to see whether they got it right or not. So I think the terminations we appreciate, but you need to look at this as if a civilian did this to Mr. Floyd, would we be asking whether they needed to be arrested or not? Of course not. We have video that shows the execution. We have audio that's contemporaneous with the video. We have several eyewitnesses and their video documentation. And so this is a prepackaged, very strong and tight case against somebody. And certainly there's probable cause to arrest.
Do you think across America or in certain parts of America that the policing and criminal justice system is different because of the color of your skin?
I will say that that certainly has been the case in the past, for sure. And what we've seen is overwhelmingly all white police forces coming in and policing overwhelmingly all black and brown communities. What I'm grateful for, certainly in Boston, and we have had, sir, our share of racist history, but we have had white police commissioners and currently have a black police commissioner that actually understand the concept and theory of community policing, right? Not only walking the beat every day and knowing each of those people that live on the street instead of just only coming in when there's crime and violence, but being there in the aftermath or even before it occurs. But I do think they're doing a much better job of having members of law enforcement that actually reflect the community that they're sworn to serve.
That's systemic. Do you think as a society that a lot of Americans are racist?
I do think we have an issue with race in the United States, for sure. I think racism is hard in the United States. It's our original sin with respect to slavery. And what I look at is a Germany, for example, who has really taken its time with its incredibly troubling history, its genocide, right, that it did or was engaged in, and offered an apology and educated every single person in its government, and every single German citizen knows about the Holocaust, knows about the atrocities that were committed in the name of government. And they have atoned, I would say, and I've been to Germany and sat through some of these powerful meetings and walked through museums and honorariums with respect to the Holocaust. The United States hasn't done that yet. I think, you know, if we're going to be very honest, there are lots of white people that will look at you and say, I've never had a slave. Why are you yelling at me about this? I didn't do anything to you personally. But the concept of white supremacy, of the fact that dating back to 1619, when slaves were enslaved, right? They did not willingly come here. And just all of the things that have happened in our history, if you look at it, whether it's the Civil War, which was about slavery, right? And the South and the North of our country, all the way into Reconstruction era, Jim Crow, all of these things, you know, World War II happening, all the way up to the Civil Rights Movement, Rodney King video, the O.J. Simpson trial, we still haven't gotten it right. And when people say, for example, I don't see color, it's very offensive because usually they are surrounded by people that look just like them, right? So when I look at law enforcement, what I want to see is a police force that reflects the community that it's there to protect and serve. All of them, right? Nobody's saying there can't be amazing Irish police officers in Boston. That's what we were founded on, and that's amazing, and they're great, and I work with them every single day. But what we also need is Vietnamese police officers. We need Haitian police officers. We need Cape Verdean police officers that are fluent in the languages of the people that are the vibrant lifeblood of Boston or Minnesota or Minneapolis. So for me, I hope that police force is going to get some significant training. But there is no question in my mind right now that there is probable cause to arrest these four officers. And then add to this, we are in the middle of a global pandemic, so we don't have grand juries right now. We aren't having trials because the courts aren't open. So we are in a really pressure-filled situation even before George Floyd was murdered. So again, I think we have a big issue with race in the United States, and I think we need to look honestly to Germany as to how we need to better handle this situation.
The protests, as they go on night after night, do seem to be getting more physical, looting, a burning
and
of
violent,
a police,
yeah,
but more violent. My question is this: the involvement of the president, Donald Trump, with his tweets and so on, saying that he would send in the National Guard troops to get the job done right, his criticism of Mayor Jacob Frey, and also saying and tweeting, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. What's your reaction to those tweets?
So, look, I think Mayor Frey has done an exceptional job in this circumstance. He's a white man, right? This is not about race. Leadership is not dictated on race in these circumstances. It's dictated on courage. It's dictated on honor and character. And I think Mayor Frey has done a wonderful job at engaging the community in an incredibly horrific, violent situation. Ivan, there are people that are calling this a lynching, similar to the horrific history we had in the United States, where Black people for show would be hung in a usually by law enforcement or with the willing, you know, willful blindness of law enforcement when it happened. We have a mayor that is standing up and saying, no, this is not happening on my watch. And I just think the president, you know, what I think the president is missing is there are communities that believe, and now we have evidence to prove that we are absolutely right when we believe this, that our lives don't matter as much as others. If somebody, Ivan, in the United States did that to a dog, I'm not joking. If a dog was restrained by a police officer or a civilian with their foot on his neck or the dog's neck and the dog died, there would be people marching in the streets over the life of a dog. And believe me, I'm a dog owner. I love dogs. They're wonderful. And I'm not in any way saying people should do that to dogs. But a human being was executed on video, and we are still mulling around and waiting for the district attorney to make a decision as to whether or not he's going to arrest these officers. And remember, Ivan, George Floyd was tried, convicted, sentenced, and executed in less than 15 minutes by a police officer who had no authority to do that, right? That the system works, that the police are there to protect and serve, the prosecutors are there to prosecute, a judge is there to make rules of law, a jury is there to make decisions of fact, and then ultimately, and it's a jury of your peers, we walk through a system. That's what our Constitution requires. This is an abomination. And I think the president adding gasoline to a fire is doing nothing but causing more problems. And where the Black community, I think, is going to be even more frustrated, of course, is there will be swift action and swift justice with respect to any looting, of course, but not with respect to the murder of George Floyd. So there's this hypocrisy that's embedded in everything that's incredibly troubling.
Finally, from where you sit, Rachel Rawlings, as a DA, when you think it's almost 30 years, 1992, the LA riots, and where every society in the Western world has become more cosmopolitan, multiracial, why is America so slow at making progress in this area?
Ugh. I come and move to America and start talking with us and making us better. You know, I don't know. I wish I understood. I just think there are systems in place where in the criminal legal system here, they prefer finality over justice, right? In some circumstances, right? They just want it to be over. And there are communities that it is embedded into our history, and we need to be better at learning our history, where Black people have been enslaved and, you know, disrespected and targeted throughout history. And this is just another iteration of that, we would argue. And so I hope it's that we have bold leadership that's willing to speak up. And, you know, Ivan, it should not just be Black faces. This isn't just a Black issue, right? When you look at me and you see, you know, the melanin in my skin, you heard me say that my father's family is from County Mayo in Ireland, and my mother's family is from Barbados. And although people look at me and see a visibly brown person or Black person, we are very complicated and multifaceted people. I could never look at you, Ivan, and know who you love, who raised you, who you adopted or who you fathered, who you choose to spend your time with. And remember, family isn't just blood, it's who you choose to love and spend time with. And so this is an issue that impacts all of us. I'm really disappointed in our country right now, but I am, you know, ever optimistic and tirelessly working at making us change.
Well, it's been a pleasure to renew our dialogue. We really enjoyed speaking to you in New Ross. It's always a pleasure to speak to the District Attorney, Rachel Rollins, from Suffolk County in Boston. And we hope that your voice will be heeded right across American society.
The Hard Shoulder on News Talk
with Nissan. Together, let's play our part by staying apart. Nissan. Innovation that excites.